Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
I just want to move out of the way because I really want to hear the word of God from this great man. We've got a very special guest, very, very special guest coming to speak for us today. He's a true brother in Christ. And let me just say this, that him and his family have been so instrumental in us. But even before Tina and I started pastoring the church, they have a great relationship with Pastor Ken and Renee and helping them establish the church here. And so I'm really, really blessed that he could come and speak for us today. And when we knew that this would be the topic, and I'm going and just understand, you know, I know we're in a series, but I've given him free rein to move prophetically because he does this really well. And I just want him to teach the way he teaches without any inhibition from my restriction on him. So please, please receive the gift and receive the man that is coming to deliver the word of God today. Can we stand to our feet and give a warm Ian Brisbane round of applause to Pastor John and Mark as he comes?
Thanks, Nelly. Good afternoon, everyone. It is so good to be with you. Love this church and love Pastor Nelly and Pastor Ken. He's gone back. We miss him. But it took a bit of, didn't take convincing for me to come. I wanted to come to this church. And fortunately, the dates, well, it was more the time, actually. I thought you guys met in the morning, so I thought, oh, no. You know, I'll be preaching, doing a new series, that sort of thing. How am I going to get over? And fortunately, your service is at 3 o'clock. So I've actually done two services already, preached two sermons, and I don't know what I'm saying now. So we'll go with the flow of the Spirit. Amen? But I want to thank Pastor Nelly and Tina. I'm so excited. And, you know, the leadership here, Roshin, you guys are fantastic. I believe, Infe, you ate at our restaurant this week. Thank you for coming to support. Yeah, that's a real community heart. He eats for missions. That's fantastic. That's it, Ron. Speaking about eating, I love to eat, but I hope you're hungry for the Word of God, amen. You know, we need to be hungry for the things of God. You know, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven, actually, he told some of his disciples that some of you are not even going to die. Some of you standing here, you will see the kingdom of heaven come in power. And we sang the songs about the kingdom. God wants us to come and receive the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom has to come in power. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, he says, wait in Jerusalem. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power from on high. You see, it is a spiritual thing. This afternoon when we hear this message, I mean this, I thank God for the worship team and, you know, all the tech guys and everything. I was really stirred up. You know, I had my message planned out, but I think I just want to go with the Spirit. Amen. But we'll see. I can't even remember what's on my PowerPoint, so we'll just keep going. But the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is within you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. He also said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what did he mean by that? You see, the kingdom of heaven, when it's at hand, it means it is there. It's right there. And if the kingdom of heaven is within you, that means you bring the kingdom of heaven to wherever you are. You see, this is a really important thing. But the thing that stops us is that, let's take it back to Genesis chapter 1. You see, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters of the earth. The earth was in chaos. It was formless, it was void, but the Spirit of God was there. And nothing happened until God said, let there be light. You see, the kingdom of heaven is there. You carry the kingdom of God. You have the hope. You know, God wants to break through from eternity into time. And if the kingdom of heaven is at hand and is within you, the kingdom of God needs to come and flow through you. How you activate that is when you begin to speak, when you begin to declare. And this is where we need to be bold as Christians, And we need to be ready to begin to speak out and declare. Begin to pray for people. Begin to testify. Tell people about what you did on the weekend. Speak about the goodness of God. And we need to begin to pray for people. Amen. I want to challenge the church that, yeah, you can hear a sermon on prayer, and I'll get to it. I'll do the you know, Sermon on the Mount and the Lord's Prayer. But we have to be people that are willing to pray. Now, our building got flooded a few months back in May. It was just a flash flood, and we've got builders working on our lower ground floor. And this week, you know, I was just, one of the builders I noticed, he's the head, one of the heads there, and he was like, oh, my neck, you know, it's so painful. I need to just go see a chiropractor, he was telling the other builders. And I just saw that opportunity. I said, hey, Bill, can I pray for you? You just got to look at the opportunities that are there, that present themselves. And I got the opportunity just to pray for him, amen. I said, in the name of Jesus, I just rebuke this condition, and I pray that, you know, just total healing upon him, full movement, and just got to pray for him. Now, I don't know whether he got better, but then I was able to share with him. I said, do you believe in Jesus? He goes, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Thank you for that prayer. And, you know, I'll follow him up, okay, because he's still working. There's a little, $500,000 worth of damage done to our building. So praise God. But we've got to take those opportunities. Last week, we had a guest preacher from a fantastic network of churches, over 97 churches. Just one of those churches has 1,000 people in it. All right, so I found out that Bill Johnson's gone to his network, and, you know, just amazing men of God. And one of their leaders, not even him, okay, they've seen the dead raised. It was not even him. It was this one lady in the church that happened to be on a train, and somebody died. They asked for a doctor, and she just went up. Everyone thought she was the doctor. She prayed in the name of Jesus. This guy came back to life. Now, that's pretty cool. Okay, that happened a few years ago, but that wasn't even the testimony he told. He told about another boy that was terminally ill with cancer, given 6 months to live, terminally ill. And just one of their leaders just went, and she went there. She began to teach the family to claim the promises of God, to declare the promises of God over this child, to pray it every day. And she went faithfully teaching the word of God, claim the promises, pray the promises. You know what? That boy got totally healed. This is 3 years on, and he's still alive. That's not the end of the story. They did this. The same lady got the faith because this boy got healed. She went to two other families, same thing, with cancer, totally healed. Now, this is where you, the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is not just some theoretical prayer that we pray. You've the kingdom of heaven's within you. It's at hand, and it has to manifest in power. You know, we're starting up, we've got a small apologetics team in our church, and it's wonderful to be able to give people an answer for when they ask what we believe in. We've got to give a defense for what we believe in. And, you know, in the church, you know, we see so many things happen coming against marriage, trying to redefine marriage and so on. And I've been having a few debates on Facebook. If you've ever had a debate on Facebook, it really goes nowhere. You know, you debate, and then you find out you're arguing with a 15-year-old. And they still, you know, their arguments are better than yours. So, and just it becomes futile. But when the world sees the power of God, it's very hard to argue with the demonstration of the power of God. Amen? And this is where the church, we need to get hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Now, I know that, you know, us pastors, we need to be on a diet. But can I tell you, your pastor's doing really well. I'm not, okay? He's shrinking. Praise the Lord. And there's another pastor here, Pastor Rolando. He's shrunk, man. The guy's shrunk. He lost 25 kilos. But you got to be hungry for the things of God. You see, there are too many things that are filling us up in this world. And, you know, when you go for a buffet, when I go for a buffet, I don't eat the whole day, okay? I maintain my appetite, my hunger. When I come for a buffet, I'm hungry. That's it. You know, I try to, when I was younger, I thought I could eat the whole thing. Okay. Now I realize I can't. But I bring a hunger. And you see, there's so many things filling us up. This world, good things, ordinary things that fill us up. And we're not hungry for the things of God. Let me give you an example. If you have a car, there's nothing wrong with cars. Cars are fantastic. They take you from A to B. I got here in a car, okay? Somebody thought I came here by ferry. No, I didn't take a ferry. Praise God. But a car, such an ordinary good thing, takes us from A to B to C, whatever. You know, you can begin to love your car. You can look at the rims on your car. You can go, oh, I think it needs a better engine. I think it needs this. I need, you know, and then you begin to invest your time in your car. You spend the time, and then Sunday comes, and you think, oh, there's a car show. I think I'll go see that. And you skip church. And, you know, think, oh, let's go for a drive. And then you miss afternoon church or Sunday evening church. And before you know it, your car becomes the thing that has consumed you. Now, these are the things. And can I just say sin, because the world is now calling that which is sin, not sin. They're calling evil good. And this is the danger. Some churches are not even willing to call it out as sin anymore. That's a dangerous thing. Because if you don't call it out as sin, you just wait a generation. Let's see what fruit comes out with it. That's a very, very dangerous line to take. And I'm scared about that. Scared about that. And sin, Romans 14 actually says, is basically doing your own thing. Without faith, if you don't do anything by faith, if you do things in your own strength, even your work, your career, whatever you're doing, relationships, I'm interested in that girl. If you haven't sought God, if you haven't sought His kingdom first, and you're just making decisions on your own wisdom, what you want, and you haven't sought God, that can be very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And I want to encourage the church, we need to get hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Amen? Are you hungry this morning, this afternoon? Amen? See, I'm still in mourning. So let's turn to the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 13. Now this, I love talking about prayer. Love praying, actually. But I always knew prayer was important. I was a pastor and I knew prayer was important. But to tell you the truth, I struggle with my devotions. Anyone here struggle with your quiet time, your personal time? Okay, if you're not, then you're probably, I don't know, lying. I don't know, but, oh, you're really disciplined. Fantastic. And I pray that you are. But I knew the importance of prayer. I knew how to pray. I knew every man and woman of God that ever did anything significant for the kingdom was a man of prayer. All right, you look at Daniel, you look at Moses. Moses prayed at Exodus 33, unless your presence goes, I don't even want to take another step. All right? And Daniel prayed three. Oh, they tried, his enemies tried to find a problem with Daniel. They couldn't find any dirt on Daniel. All they could find was, and he prays three times a day. Wow. That's all they could get. And they had to trap him and form a trap to trap him over his prayer life. That's all they could find on Daniel. What an incredible man. Jesus. Right? After he left the crowds, he would spend all night in prayer. He would wake up early and pray. He's a man of prayer. You see, we need to be people of prayer. So I knew prayer was important. But it wasn't until 2004 that I met. In March, I was invited, just a quick opportunity. An apostle came from KL, invited me to go meet these African prayer, apostles of prayer. And up to that time, I had never met anyone that had really done full 40-day fast. Okay? You hear about it, but these guys were the real deal. They've raised the dead. Okay? You want to know how to raise the dead? I've spoken to a few people. How to raise the dead? You actually go into prayer. You pray and pray and pray. I met David Hogan. He's had over 200 people come back from the dead in his ministry. But then we asked him, how many people have you prayed for? He goes, over 10,000 people. But they've seen it, and they will spend hours in prayer, 30, 45, 1 hour, 2 hours, until they get a word from the Lord, or the body comes back. So they will pray and pray and pray. And same with my prayer mentor. Somebody died in one of the conferences in the meeting, right, in the aisles. They prayed for over 45 minutes, and the person came back to life. You see, you got to get a word from the Lord. Jesus did the same thing, didn't he? Closed the door. Peter closed the door. They went in into prayer. You got to get a word from the Lord. Right? That's how you raise the dead. That's a freebie. Okay? So every nation, I expect next time I come back, we tried praying for a few people. All right? But prayer, I knew it was so important. But I actually didn't practice it in that sense. And when I met my prayer mentors from Africa, these guys pray. They pray in the spirit. They pray in tongues. And they pray for hours, but they pray the word of God. And I love what Pastor Nelly said, you know, in Revelation, there's a correlation between revelation and worship. And can I say, add to that, it's worship and intercession together. Because remember the two bowls in heaven? Right? You see the harp and bowl. You can't sort of separate the two, all right? They're there together. And if we have time, I'll take you there, all right? But these guys knew how to pray, and they're talking about the, you know, praying for your senior pastor, praying for the leader. They were real armor bearers. They knew how to pray for the senior man. And one of the things on my heart is for you to always pray for your senior pastor, pray for his family. You need to be armor bearers, okay? Not just someone, oh, when you see Nelly, can I carry your bag, Nelly? And that's nice for you to do that. But you've got to cover him. An armor bearer is someone, it's like the Secret Service. You're willing to take a bullet to save this guy. That's the type of spirit that you need to have. When David, and say, where's this in the Bible? Where's this in the Bible? Okay, I'll take you to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, right? In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, the soldiers defected from Saul. They came from the different tribes. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Amasai and said, David, we are yours, we are yours. Success, success, success to you. And I want to declare success upon every nation church. Amen. If there was one church, if I left my church, if there's one church I was going to join in Brisbane, it'd be this church. That's how much I believe in every nation church. That's how much I love you guys. That's saying a lot, okay? But I'm serious, okay? So prayer, I knew it was important. But you got to pray for your senior pastor. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And you know, David had his mighty men. They were armor bearers. And armor bearer, it says, David was the captain of the bodyguard. He was the captain of the secret service. That's why when David had the opportunity to kill Saul, he would never do it. He would never do it. You know why? He trained the Secret Service. He trained them. There was no way he was going to kill his commander-in-chief, Saul. He was never going to do that. He left that up to God. And you see, that's the kind of spirit that we need in prayer, to pray. And not just, you know, just short popcorn prayers here and there. Popcorn prayers are just 1 minute. You know, pop, that's it. And it's finished. Gone. We need some meaty prayers. Amen. And we need to persevere in prayer. You know, God showed me some prayers that, you know, mango tree? You guys have mango trees? Some mangoes are on the lower branches. And go up to them, pluck it, eat it, and gone. Some are right up there, and you need those big poles. It takes a bit more effort. It takes time. If you want good food, it takes more than a minute in the microwave. You want a good lamb roast? Sunday night, lamb roast. Okay, this is Australia. Lamb roast, Sunday night. It doesn't get done in 1 minute in a microwave. You want something good, it takes a while. And you've got to press in. You've got to persevere. So this is the type of spirit that we need to pray for the senior ministers. Jesus was the ultimate armor bearer. The ultimate armor bearer is a son. I don't do, I don't say anything unless I see my Father in heaven doing it. You see, that's the type of spirit that we need. God sent his one and only son to die on the cross so that we can have life. It's that spirit of the armor bearer, the spirit of sonship that needs to come upon us, amen? And we need to be people like that, who are willing to pray. Have that spirit. Can you pray for your pastor? Can you do that? You know why? Because when you pray, you've seen those flying geese, right? Okay. If you pray success upon him, when he is successful, success will come upon you. The anointing flows from the top. Do you know for the last 10, 12, 13 years, I don't really pray for myself. I've been praying for my senior pastor, my dad. Okay, I prayed for him. And I realized that when he's blessed, I get blessed. I don't even have to bring my own request to God. God already knows what we're going to ask for. So what does he want? Okay, like our brother Yinfe said, you know, God asked for something. I do that with my son, but I don't play Lego, right? I ask him for biscuits. I say, can I have a bite of your biscuit? And he looks at me and he thinks, should I give him the biscuit or not? He doesn't realize that I buy the biscuits. I buy all the food. He doesn't get that. You know, it's like, you give me one little biscuit, I'll give you the whole packet. God already knows what we need. But sometimes he wants to develop our character. He wants to develop things inside of us. Amen? And we need to push through. Learn how to pray and not give up. So let's come to the Lord's Prayer. I can't even get into the sermon. God help us. Let's read it together, the Lord's Prayer. Do we all know it? Is it up there? Oh, good. I should do the Every Nation thing and introduce my family. I went to the APAC conference, and this is what you got to do it at Every Nation Church. If you don't do this, something's wrong with you. So this is my wife. Where is she? She's gone. Is it there? That's my wife, Deborah. We've been married for, 8 years now. Wow. So getting along. That's my son, Ethan. He's 2 and a bit. And that's my daughter, Zara. She's turning 4 next month. They're fantastic kids. Okay? I love them. Yesterday morning, I woke up, my daughter was singing, your presence is heaven to me. And she doesn't even know what she's singing, but it was fantastic. But that's my family. So let's get to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 6, 9 and 13. Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father, can we read it together? Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Now, notice that it says our Father. He's not just my Father. Have you ever prayed by yourself, our Father? That's a weird thing, because we really should be praying together. Even Jesus himself, on the night which he was betrayed, he asked his disciples to come. He said, could you not pray for me for even 1 hour? Right? As Christians, we should be praying for more than an hour. I'm preaching to myself, okay? Because sometimes you're just out the door and you're praying in the car. But it's good to spend that time in prayer. And I want to take you there on a personal level, but we should be praying together. If Pastor Nelly calls a prayer meeting, make sure you come. Amen. That's koinonia. Some of us think fellowship is your biscuits and your what else? You know, your lamb roast and your eating. You think that's fellowship. Acts 2 fellowship, the word fellowship is koinonia. The word koinonia in Greek means partnership with the Holy Spirit. You're investing your time, you're investing your talents, you're investing, you know, your treasure. And you're doing the work of the kingdom. It is not just tea and biscuits. Koinonia is about the gospel and getting the gospel out there. That's true koinonia. We do it together. Corporate, amen, prayer. You see, it's not just me, my Father in heaven. It's our Father in heaven. You see, the Jews saw God as the transcendent creator, the awesome God. But here, when Jesus prayed, Abba, Father, it's an intimate term. So yes, he is sovereign. He is the majestic God, but he's also the intimate Father, the personal God, amen? So he is our creator, but he's our Father. He's deeply personal, but he is terrifying in his majesty and his beauty. He has fatherly love, but he has heavenly power. He is transcendent, but he's also tender. That's the God we serve. So God is our Father who longs for a deep relationship with us. He is jealous for us. You know that song. He is jealous for me. He longs for us to come and spend that time with him. I love spending just a little time with my kids, you know, before they go to school. I'll take whatever I can get, amen. You want that hug. God will take that, although we wish we could spend more time. That's how he is, amen. And you see, we need to learn to come and to wait in his presence. This is hard for kids. Okay, my kids want to run, do this, do that, Cinderella this, Frozen that. But what you want is, I say, kids, look at me, look at me. I want to get their attention. And we need to learn to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Now, this was a revelation. Can I share this revelation with you? Colossians chapter 3, do we have it there? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since you have been raised, let's read this together. Help me out. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Now, I've read that 100 times, if not thousands of times. I've studied this passage, and it really dawned on me this year that since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Now, I always thought, it's nice, let's think about heavenly things, whatever is good, whatever is pure. Just think about the realities of heaven. But then he says, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. What is he describing? He's describing the very throne room of God. And you know what? When John, in Revelation chapter 4, chapter 5, it says, a door was opened unto me, and a voice said, come up. And he stepped into the heavenly realms. What did he see in Revelation chapter 5? He began to see the very throne of God where Christ is seated. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you know that you are a royal priesthood, a chosen people called by God? Do you know that? Do you know that as Christians, and I trust that many of you here are Christians, do you know that you are priests? You are that royal priesthood. Do you know what order of priesthood you belong to? What? Melchizedek. Very good. You won't hear that in too many churches this Sunday, right? And the name of Melchizedek doesn't appear. Churches don't utter it. But do you know that's the order we belong to? What is that order all about? What does a priest do? A priest learns to worship. A priest learns to come before the very throne of God. In the Holy of Holies, you step into that place. You worship God. You pray. You act as that mediator between God and man. And then the priest would go out. Did you know that? The priest would come to the front where the people were waiting. Remember John's father, Zechariah? They were waiting for him. He went into the Holy of Holies. He comes out, and they were like, so what's the message? What did you see? What did you get? You see, the priest has to bring the prophetic word to the people. And we need to bring prophetic words to people. You can do that on a daily basis. That's what priests do. We worship, we pray, we intercede, we get a prophetic word, and we share it with people. That's what we do, day in, day out. That's our calling. Amen? That's why prayer is so important. So that people are waiting for us. So here, John comes up and he sees Christ. And I want you to see what he sees, okay? Because this is what we are called to experience every day. Revelation chapter 4. And instantly I was in the Spirit. I saw a throne in heaven, someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian. And the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. Okay, redeeming back the rainbow. Okay, here we are, the throne of God. You see the rainbow. What does the rainbow speak of? Covenant. It's based on the covenant promises of God. And then he says, 24 thrones surrounded him. 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning, okay, rolls of thunder. And then it says, and in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. Can you imagine that throne room of God? Can you imagine seven burning torches? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 around his throne. Just these burning torches around his throne. We need to meditate on the things of heaven. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. So more and more, you see, I'm a prayer person, all right? And when I met these guys, apostles of prayer, prayed in tongues. Pray in tongues for over an hour. Just praying the word of God. So you read the word of God, you focus on one scripture, and you pray in tongues. And the Holy Spirit will lead you from one passage to another passage. He will show you incredible things, okay? So I'm a prayer warrior, watchman like that, okay? I'm a bearer. Prayed for my senior pastor. Prayed mighty things, ridiculous things, okay? And I wish our brother Tevita was here. We prayed some crazy prayers, all right, for the athletes. And before I even started, I said, wouldn't it be nice if we can get in touch with Team Tebow? Wouldn't it be nice if we could reach out to this athlete, to that athlete? And you know, Tevita, out of that prayer, just the midnight prayer, he has over 900 athletes, okay? Wallabies and All Blacks. I don't know why he's reaching out to the All Blacks, but never mind. He's reaching out to them. Do you know Jerry Collins that just died? Do you know a few years back, about 2.5 years, 3 years back, Jerry had a gun in his hand and was going to blow his head off when he was in Japan? Tevita ministered to him. He chose, you know, and obviously he didn't kill himself. Praise God. That's the ministry that we've had. We prayed for that kind of influence. And that's just from that. And now, I told you, Tevita is just a few texts away. He SMSs The Rock. Can you be like Dwayne Johnson? That's, you're like, this is ridiculous. He's in contact with so many, you know, rugby players all over the world, athletes as well. So he started an organization called Athletes for Life. And that was birthed out of prayer. Just midnight prayer. So I used to pray every night, even Sunday nights, 7 days a week from 11 to 1. And when I came back to Australia after that trip, I did a 40-day fast. Okay, I've put the weight back on. I lost 15, you know, kilos, and it was fantastic. But I put it back on. But it was wonderful. Because when you pray, it's like, can I encourage you to have a place of prayer that you lock into? Because it's really hard, even at home. So I found that driving to church, praying for those 2 hours, 11 to 1, we would straddle, you know, the 2 days. We would claim the day. We would pray all sorts of things over the day. And it was a really powerful time. It was like having, you know, those old telephone boxes, the English ones, the nice red ones, like Doctor Who, whatever. I can't remember. Anyway. Can you imagine if I told you there was a telephone box in the city and God would ring at 11 p.m. every night, would you be there? Really? A lot of people don't. A lot of people couldn't be bothered coming in. Sad to say. God does speak. And he speaks in that place of prayer. And so I knew the power of praying in tongues. You know that? And then recently, you know, I've heard of people learning to, what do they call it? It's like waiting on God. What do they call it? What's the word? Do you guys do it? Soaking, that's it. Soaking in the presence of God. They play some new age music, and it's not from the, you know. It's like all sorts of stuff, and I thought this is just the biggest waste of time. Honestly, I thought this is stupid. What are you doing? Just waiting on God, okay? Thinking. So I thought this soaking thing was a joke. Didn't get it till I started meditating on this. You're learning to train your mind to set your mind on the realities of heaven. You're learning to picture, use your imagination to come before the throne of God. So God wants to raise us up as priests. Now let me get to the Lord's Prayer very quickly. If we put this up, we're going to fly through this. There are three prayers that we pray. The first three deal with God's glory, his name, his kingdom, his will. We are to bring glory to these three things. The other prayers that are within the Lord's Prayer, give us our daily bread, focuses on our needs. Not our wants, but our needs. You know, God has promised us that you will never go hungry, you will have food, and you'll have clothes, you'll have shelter. He's promised that. Some of the wants that we want, the desires, oh, I'd love this guy. Don't get caught up running with the Joneses, okay? Just because someone's got 5 investment properties Don't put that upon yourself and say, oh, I need to have 5 investment properties as well. That's a want. That's not a need. Amen? God promises to look after our needs. Look at the Word of God. Relationships, forgiveness, we'll get to that. So the first one is we're petitioning for God's name to be hallowed. God's name reveals His character. Learn to invoke His name. First of all, our Father, we prayed that, amen? Hallowed be Your name. Glory goes to Your name. So you begin to worship God. Adore His name. Lift up His name. He's already that. You don't go crying, oh God, I need You. And it's good to cry out. At times we are so moved by our emotions, we have to call out upon His name. But look at the names of God very quickly. Let's put it up on the next slide. These are just some of the names of God, Emmanuel. Some of you haven't felt the presence of God for a while. You need to declare Emmanuel, God with us. All right? Some of us, we need to pray, Counselor. The Holy Spirit is that wonderful Counselor who will lead us, who will guide us. Some of us need to pray, you know, He is our Shepherd. This week, I've just been focusing, our church, we prayed, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our Shepherd. He will guide us through. He leads us beside still waters. He makes us lie down in green pastures. Amen. And some of you are thinking South Island, New Zealand. Okay, I love New Zealand, so that's why. Okay? And you need to call upon His name. See, when you call upon His name, He already knows you're referring to His character, His goodness. And you know, every time God revealed a name, there's a story, there's a corresponding story behind it. When God told Abraham, go and sacrifice your one and only son, Infe, how many sons do you have again? 4. Imagine taking your oldest son or your one and only son and going and killing him. Now that's crazy. First of all, I think you're not hearing from God if you said that. Yeah? Who's this God telling you to go and murder your son? Okay? And God says, sends the angel and says, stop. Now I know that you fear My name. Now I know you won't withhold anything. Yeah? And right at that point, it was life or death. What does Abraham? He builds an altar and he calls it Yahweh. What? Jireh. The Lord will provide. It was, you know, some of us say, you know, it's nothing wrong praying for a car park. Oh, Jehovah Jireh, You'll provide a car park. It's good. It's good to pray for things like that. But Jehovah Jireh was in a life or death situation. And God revealed it. God revealed His name. He provided a way out. Amen? Call upon that name. These are all the other names. Jireh, Nisi, Rapha, Tzikinu, Shalom, Sabaoth, Shema, Makadesh, His holiness. Some of us here are struggling, right, with addictions, going in cycles and stuff. Maybe you need to call up in the midst of your sin, Jehovah Makadesh. Jesus, You are my holiness, You are my purity. And I know you've been doing, you know, a series on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, you can't do it in your own strength. You know the key to the kingdom? The key to the kingdom is right there. The first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit who realize their need for God, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You got to stop doing things your way and begin to do it God's way. Amen? And just say, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm struggling with this thing. Really, I can't do it. And you know what? The old life is gone. The new has come. You're a new creation in Christ. God gives you a new persona to live up to. And that new life is hidden in Christ. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to beat yourself up over that thing. Amen. If you sin, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us. Don't get caught up in that thing. Amen. But we just live in freedom. Live as Christ has called us to live. You see, and if I could illustrate this, imagine this is a mirror, right? There's a mirror right here. Normally, if you move, the image in the mirror will move, right? But here, I want you to imagine that the mirror is your new persona in Christ. If that moves, you should move, all right? It's a different way of living. It's just the opposite way. I don't know whether that's a good illustration, but we've got to live up to our new man in Christ. God has given us a new man. You can't build it on the old. Don't try and do it the old way. We've got to rest totally in Christ. He's done it all. Amen? So I just want to encourage you with that. So you pray the name of God. Amen? And then pray for his kingdom to come. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? Jesus fed the 5,000, collected 12 baskets full. Jesus fed the 4,000, collected 7 baskets full. Right? And then they were in the boat. One of the disciples, idiot, brought one piece of bread. And the others were like, dude, you forgot the bread. And Jesus goes, hey, hey, hey. I just fed the 5,000. How many baskets?
12.
Fed the 4,000. I just fed the 4,000. How many baskets? 7. They all went quiet. See? Faith, they don't realize they had one piece of bread. That was more than enough to feed all of them. Sometimes we... doing it our own way, we forget, blame each other, backbiting each other. You should have brought the bread. Jesus goes, oh man, you miss it. Are we hungry for the things of God? And they asked for a sign. They wanted a political savior. Jesus said, no, I'm going to give you signs. You know, he was doing all the different signs. Jesus said, even if you don't believe that I'm the Son of God, believe in the miracles themselves. This is why we need the power of God. He heals a blind man. All right? And you know, the Messiah, 3 miracles were reserved for the Messiah. Leprosy, someone born blind. They believed that God could heal a blind person, but not someone born blind. And then they also believed that the Messiah was the one that could cast out a mute spirit, a mute demon. All right. So you notice right after Mark chapter 8, chapter 9, Jesus comes down the mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration, his clothes turn dazzling white. You see, when the supernatural affects the natural, you begin to shine. All right? You begin to shine. And we need to be that point. Prayer people, priests, are the point of contact for the supernatural to break forth into the natural. You need to do that. All right? So Jesus, remember, he comes down the mountain. Dad comes and says, oh, your disciples couldn't cast out the demon. They tried. My son is mute and he's deaf. Jesus said, bring the boy to me. He casts out the mute spirit. Miracle reserved for the Messiah. And what did he say? This kind can only come up by what? Prayer and fasting. What does fasting do? Makes you hungry. Makes you hungry for the presence of God. You need to get hungry. You see, we're consumed by too many things. We need to develop a hunger for the presence of God. This is what prayer needs to do in our lives. Amen? Not just our prayers, okay? So moving along, then you pray for the will to be done. The one thing that can be resisted is our will. I was preaching this morning on the 3 types of faith, all right? Dead faith, you just believe, intellectual, yeah, I know Jesus rose from the dead, yeah. I've got an uncle who believes that, okay? Free thinker, and I said, you know, my uncle realized, he goes, yeah, I'm not going to become a Christian. I'm not. And he says, and I said, you do realize the consequences of that? He goes, yep, that could be the worst decision ever. The biggest decision. If I'm wrong on this one, I'm gone for eternity. He realizes that. But he still won't submit his life to Christ. That's a dead kind of faith. James says, faith without action is dead. Then there's demonic faith. You know the demons? Believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. They believe he is God. They believe he's coming again. They believe that he's the judge. They know that. But they're demons. And you know what? They tremble. James says, they tremble. Demonic faith is where you believe in your mind and it affects your emotions as well. You can come to church, lift up your hands, sing all the wonderful songs, but there's still no change in your life. Real dynamic faith is when there is a change, amen? It affects your whole body, your mind, your will, your intellect. It changes everything and it leads to action. Amen? So your will needs to change. Jesus said in the garden, Father, not my will, but yours be done. So this is where the one area where the Lordship of Christ will be tested is your way or God's way. Your will be done, Father. In our relationships, when I'm looking for boyfriend, girlfriend, my job. Okay? Do you come to your pastor for advice, for wisdom? The Bible says, walk with the wise, you will grow wise. I actually had someone that called me up, one of our members, and he said, can I make a time to meet with you. I thought, oh man, what's wrong? What's wrong? He goes, oh, nothing's wrong. I'm just thinking of a career change and I want to talk to you because you said it's good to talk to your leaders. I thought, wow, someone's actually listening. All right? Submit your will to God's will. Allow godly men and women, the leaders who have oversight over you, not any Tom, Dick, and Harry, super spiritual person, but those in authority to speak into your life. Amen? Let your will be done. So this is where, okay, so very quickly, we're going to round this up. Now we move to our personal needs, praying for daily provision, okay? Pray for protection, pray for direction, pray for what you need, not just what you want, okay? And then the next petition, if we move to the final slide, thanks, Michael, okay? Relationships, all right? So you pray for your needs, pray for what you need. God already knows, but thank him. You know, when we were praying for our church, we were in the valley, and as I said, we had a prophecy. God was going to give us a new building. And we prayed in the midnight prayer. All I had was a piece of paper with the prophecy on it. Many of you have been to the building. You've seen it. All we had was a prophecy and a piece of paper. And there were nights we just prayed that. Prayed and prayed. And true enough, it came to pass. But one of the steps getting there, faith without action is dead. We had to activate that faith. Brisbane got flooded 2011, right? The market was dead. And we were like, we need to sell our building. We need an offer on our building. So my dad called 3 days of prayer and fasting. On the Wednesday night, our midweek prayer meeting, we got together. My dad said, don't even ask. Don't even cry out to God. Don't even pray. Let's just thank God. Let's just thank God. And we just began to worship. We just began to thank God. Thank him for something that he's already heard. He already knows the prayer. You don't have to beat yourself up and whip yourself. He heard the prayer. Within 1.5 weeks, we got our one and only offer for the building that we were in the valley. And it was for, I think, just over $3 million. And because of that, we were able to, that was the one sign. We said, we just need one offer, and we got it. And that released us to buy the building that we're in, Newmarket. We just began to thank God. So maybe thank God for your needs. Begin to praise, call upon his name, because he's already heard that prayer. Relationships. Forgive, was it? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. How many of you here, and I've done this in many churches, how many of you here, anybody here who has perfect relationships with everyone? Is there anyone that has perfect relationships with anyone? No. Yeah, I didn't think so. All of us, on any given day, have one relationship that could improve. Amen? And maybe we need to forgive that person. Maybe that person's really irking us. And I did it this week. I had to pray this. I was like, oh, God, forgive me. I've got to forgive that person. See them every day. I've got to forgive that person. It's not my wife, right? So are you thinking it's why? Yeah, you better go to that laugh your way to a better marriage. If you want to know what climbing the coconut tree means, you better go to that. See, I know the code as well. Hallelujah. Some of you singles are like, what? That's fine. Just be innocent. Yeah. But all of us have got relationships to improve on. Amen? Pray about that. Forgive us our sins. If you want forgiveness of your sins, you better do that. And the last one, spiritual warfare. We're going to pray. Never give up in your prayers. Jesus prayed for that blind man. How many times? Twice. First time, I see men like trees. You got to press in. Like that boy, mute and deaf, Jesus prayed again. Never give up in spiritual warfare. But you've got to rise up in warfare. Can I illustrate this? Who's the biggest guy here? He's pretty big, the drummer. Okay, I used to be the drummer as well. Tua, come on. Okay, Tua's quite a tough guy. Do you have a phone on you, bro? Okay, I'm pretending to be the devil, right? I come up to him and go, give me your phone. Okay, walk off. Next day I come back to him. Hey, every nation, I love your hats. Give me your hat. Thank you. It doesn't suit me, okay? Okay, next day I come up to him. Hey, bullying him a bit. Hey, give me your jacket, bro. He's a really nice guy. Hey, you giving it to me? He's a really nice guy.
Thanks, bro.
Hey, bro, nice shoes. Can you give me your shoes? Oh, man, this guy's so compliant. We better stop there. We better stop there. Do you know what? Now, I want him to offer some resistance. Tua, I want your shirt, bro.
Resistance.
No.
Oh, wait.
Nah.
No?
No.
You serious?
No.
I want it.
No.
Dude, I want it.
Oh, you want your stuff back.
Oh, this guy, maybe he's a Christian. This guy knows spiritual warfare. You see, too many of us, the devil comes and he takes. No resistance. You got to say no. The way he says no is still very nice. No. No!
Yeah,
oi! You need to take authority.
Yes, sir.
And that's what we got to do in spiritual warfare. Some of you fathers, husbands, you need to fight and really exercise some authority. Smith Wigglesworth says you got like a dog running around you. It's like the devil's like, you got to kick him off. Amen? Spiritual warfare, you have to resist the devil. He will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil. Amen? Let's stand up. And I don't know whether you... If you guys need prayer, can you come down? I know we've pushed the time. I'm so sorry. If you need prayer, if you need a breakthrough, can you come forward? And I want to give every person an opportunity, first of all. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ and you're here for the first time and maybe, you know, you've just started coming back to church and I talked about the different types of faith. We don't want a dead faith. We don't want demonic faith. We want a dynamic faith. Amen. And I want to activate that. If you know you need to get right with God, you need to come back to God. Can I ask every person here with your eyes closed? Can you just close your eyes? And if you know you need to get back with God, you say, Lord, I want to be a disciple. I want to follow Christ. I want to live that new life. I'm tired of the old. Can you just lift up your hand and say, yep, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to pray together as a church. And then we're going to pray this together. So church, can you pray this with me? You can put down your hands. I want you to come and speak to the pastors after this. Amen. Come and speak to the leaders if you put up your hand. Because, you know, some of you can put up your hand, but you need to get water baptized. You need to be discipled. Because this is just the first step in the journey. Amen. And you're always welcome to come back to God, but we've really got to live for God. So let's pray. Let's pray this together, church. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came and died on the cross for my wrongs. And I believe that on the third day you rose from the dead, that you are alive. You're seated at the right hand of God. And I'm sorry for all the wrongs that I've done. And from this day, I make a decision and a declaration that I will follow you. Help me to be more like you, Lord Jesus. Fill my life with your good things, with your presence. I thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say amen. Now for those of you...
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.